Okay, good morning, everyone. Our weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'iloi Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. And our shir now has a sponsor. We express our hakaras hatov to David and Paula Baumzer for sponsoring the shir of Maseches Mo'ikon, the whole Masechta. Okay, so here we go. A great daf, daf Zayin. We're actually just going to review for a second the Mishnah on Vav Amud Beis, so that we can pick up on Daf Zion itself. Let's move the coffee. Let's move the glasses. We're good to go. We have a little bit of notes here. We're on Daf Zion, yes. But we're just going to look at the Mishnah for a second. The Mishnah told us that we can trap certain animals that could potentially cause damage to a field if the nature of the damage that they will cause is a deep and lasting and significant damage, like to a Sde Ilan. So we said that Tzadin is Aishos Vesachbarim, Misdeya Ilan, Misdeya Lovan, Kedarko, Bimoed, Uvishvias, that you could trap them in all types of fields. That's the Tanakama, both on Cholomoid and in Shemitah. And we'll discuss soon why this is relevant to Shemitah. Vechachamim Omrim, Misdeya Ilan, Kedarko, from a Sde Ilan, a tree field, a field of trees, you can trap it normally because it has the potential to really create a davara avud, to really do some serious lasting damage. Stay a loban from a grain field, shalo kedarko. You can trap these animals, even though trapping is one of the malachos, but you could trap these animals, but you have to do it shalo kederech in a not normal way. And then the Mishnah had another halacha, which we'll discuss as well today. Umakrin es apirza bimoe. If there is some sort of pirza, a wall around a structure, or we'll see around, we'll have to see exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. A wall around something that is built to protect that something, and it is broken on Chol HaMoed, you are permitted to repair it. Uveshviyas bone kedarko. And if it's during Shemitah, you could go ahead and build that wall in a normal way. So let's return to the Gemara on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Misdeya Ilan Kedarko, Misdeya Lavan Shelo Kedarko. That from a Sde Ilan, a field of trees, since there is a Hefsid Meruba, right? And we know that on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do Malacha for a Hefsid Meruba, and you don't have to do it Shelo Kedarko. You don't have to do it with any sort of Shino, you can do it normally. You could bring in the trappers, right? Whoever traps these things, and you can trap it normally. But if it's a stay lavan, you should do it shalo kedarko. Presumably because the stay lavan, the grain field, is less of a hefsid. Less of a hefsid, okay? Tan rabbanon, so we learned, ketzad kedarko. What does it mean to trap things kedarko? So how do you trap something kedarko, right? So those of us who've had this chos, to live in Washington Heights for 7 years, are experts at trapping akbar. I have under my belt at least 29, because I kept track at some point, confirmed kills. Now, I started my mahalach, I started with, it's not important what exactly I killed, but yes, they were infiltrating the sanctity of our home. And so I started with glue traps. But then the glue trap trapped one of my children, and I got in a lot of trouble for that. One of them walking around mom with the glue trap attached to his leg. I remember it very vividly. But I had a home mahalach at night. I had a home mahalach on how to do this. I got very good at it. Then at one point, we didn't like the idea with the glue traps. It wasn't so nice. So I went to Petco to get a trap, which was a mistake. They don't like trapping and killing animals. But they had what's called a have-a-heart trap, which is where you put oatmeal on this thing, and it's a cage, and the mouse goes in, and it eats the oatmeal. And then by pressing on the thing, the trap closes. So I bought one of these, and I set it at night with the oatmeal. They told me to use oatmeal. And in the morning, there was no oatmeal, and there was no mouse in the trap. So, I don't know. I think they have a higher level of IQ. So how do you trap these things? So the Gemara says, Ketzad Kedarko, what's called trapping Kedarko? Chofer Guma, you dig a hole, above, I guess, where they're burrowed. V'tola bo mitzuda, and through that hole you suspend a little trap, and then when they try to get out, they'll be trapped. Ketzad shelo kedarko, what's called shelo kederech, noetz shifod, you go to where they are, and you slam a, like a rod into the ground, umaka bekardom, and you bang on the rod with a hammer, umarda ha'adama mitachteo, and then the whole ground just collapsed, their whole home just collapsed on top of them. That's called the I guess, more compassionate or shelo kederech way to do this, right? So that's the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kesha Amru Mistei Lavan Shelo Kedarko. When we say, when Rabbi Yehuda said that in a grain field you should kill them, you should do it Shelo Kedarko, Lo Amru Ela Bistei Lavan Asmucha Le'ir. That's only talking about a Stei Lavan that is Smucha Le'ir, that is close to the city. Aval Bistei Lavan Asmucha Le'stei Ilan. But if you have a field of grain that's close to somebody else's or one of your fields of trees, where by not trapping them effectively, you could end up allowing them to cause damage in the other field. Afilu kedarko, you're allowed to do it even kedarko. Shema yotzu mistei lavan biachribo sayilonos, because the mice may escape the grain field and go do more substantial damage somewhere else. And that's a little bit of a chiddush, because the situation in front of you is not a hefsed meruba. But by acting shelo kederech, you may lead to a situation of hefsed meruba, right? And since it may lead to a situation of hefsed meruba, you're allowed to take care of it properly, right? It reminds us of the halacha, if you have someone who's allergic to bee stings, right, in a sukkah. So you're allowed to trap the bees on Yontif because it's a sakana. What if someone next door to you is allergic to bee stings and they're not in your sukkah? So the chora, you're allowed to do the same thing, right? Because the bees don't, vote by, they're not just there to visit you because you have good zmiros and good posters in your sukkah, even though the Mermelstein has by far the best poster in a sukkah ever known to man, right? Nevertheless, they could end up going to another sukkah. So, so something that's not an immediate hefsed meruba, but could potentially lead to a hefsed meruba, could be treated as a hefsed meruba. That's an important principle for our hilchas chalamoy. Umakunis a piritza b'moed. You're allowed to fix this piritza on the moed. So keitzad makrin. How do you fix it? So we have two suggestions. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yosef says, behotza v'dafna. You take like bamboo and you take branches and you sort of create this wall out of this vegetation. The Masnisa Tana, in the Mishnah in Tosefta, they taught us, Tsar Bitzror, the Eno Tach Bitit. You can build a rock wall, but you cannot put mortar, you cannot put plaster over the rock wall. And therefore, you'll build the wall, it'll protect us against something coming inside, but you can't substantiate it to the point that it's sort of professionally done. Amar Rav Chisda, so says Rav Chisda, lo shanu, this din that we are analyzing here, that you have to do it shelo kederech, lo shanu ela kotel hagina, that only applies of doing it shelo kederech if it is the wall of a garden, of our kotel hachotzer, but if it's the wall of a chotzer, bone kedarko, then you could build it normally with the plaster itself. What's the difference between the wall of a garden and the wall of a chatzer? So Rashi says a wall of a garden has the capacity to ruin your garden, ruin your vegetation, ruin what you have there. The wall of a chatzer, if you take down the wall of a chatzer, you have the potential of infiltration, of ganavim, of people actually coming in and potentially doing more damage than just a little bit of a hefset. So therefore, a kotel a chatzer, you're allowed to be bone kedarko. That's the din of Rav Chisda. At the Kotel Chatzer, you're allowed to be bone kedarko. The Mishnah was only talking about, in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah was only talking about a gina, a garden. So the Gemara says, Lema Misayei Alei, I have a proof to this qualification of Rav Chisda. Kotel Agochel Rishus HaRabim, you have a wall that's falling into the Rishus HaRabim, right? Let's say you have a wall and it's like leaning, it could fall at any time. So, sir, you're allowed to destroy that wall, ubone kedarko, and you're allowed to go ahead and build it normally. This is talking about Cholamoid.
Right, but right? Such a wall that's leaning hasn't leaned from today. It was probably leaning before.
Right.
Why wait till Cholamoid?
Good. Yeah, why wait till Cholamoid? It's a good kasha. Yeah. But let's say you later waited till Cholamoid. This is not shaving. This is, now the Gemara, the Mefarshim point out, it can't be talking about a situation where it's mamish about to fall and it's mamish a sitting sakana, because then it would be mutter even on Yontif to deal with it, right? So the Chiddush here is that it's a potential sakana. Right? It's a potential sakana. Meaning, if it falls, it's probably going to hurt somebody. Is it definitely going to fall? It's not definitely going to fall. Maybe your point, right? Erez's point. It's been sitting like this for all time. We had a building for 30 years that looked like it was going to fall on somebody. We didn't just destroy it on Chol HaMoed, right? Even though some people want to do. Ubonei kedarko mipnei ha-sakana. So you're allowed to do that because of sakana. So maybe this is a raya to Rav Chisda's qualification of Rabbi Yehuda. Because you see that when it comes to constructing something that's a chatzer, something that's more substantial, not just a gina, then we are permitted to build kedarko. So the Gemara says that's not an analogy. Hasam kediktani taima mivnei ha-sakana. Here, the reason why it was mutter is because it's an ever-present sakana. Over there, he's talking about building a wall around a chatzer. You don't like the fact that your chatzer is exposed. There are lots of things you could do to protect your chatzer from it being exposed. You could, it's not just like a garden. You could have people do shmirah. You know, not every yeshuv has a fence, right? Not every yeshuv has a fence. I remember I spent a Shabbos on Bat Ayin. I don't know if this is still true. I doubt it's still true. But in Bat Ayin, when I spent a Shabbos there in 1996, their shita was no fence. We're here. We're allowed to be here. We don't need a fence. That was their shita. I don't know about this after Shabbos. Right? So let's say, so there are other ways to handle security. There are other ways to handle. So says the Gemara, that's not necessarily a raya. But Ikad Amri, and there are those that record this back and forth differently, that first the Gemara brought a raya. Toshma, kotel agochel shusaram, sosir bono kedarko. That a kotel is about to fall in a shusaram, you can destroy it and build a kedarko. Why mibnei asakona? Mibnei asakona in shalom mibnei asakona lo. Then the Gemara analyzes that brisa and says, what do you see from here? When there's an ever-present sakana, you can do it. When there's no sakana, you cannot do it. Meaning you just want to move your construction forward or for convenience so that you can get in there by Rosh Hashanah, right? All the reasons why people want to build a cholamot. Lema tiyu of Rav Chisda. So that sounds like a kasha in Rav Chisda, right? Because Rav Chisda said that you could build for a chatzer. So lema tiyu of Rav Chisda. You could build for a chatzer. It sounds like you could only build for a makom sakana. So Amar lachar of Rav Chisda will tell you, no, you're allowed to build for a chatzer, a kedarko, even when it's just simply something that's more substantial than a gina. What's the chiddush here? Mipnei asakana. What's the matir here? Here, hasam, or there, soser ubone. There you want to destroy the wall and you want to build the wall. Destroying the wall, normally destroying something on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed is not a problem. It's makalka, that's not malacha, to destroy something. But if you're destroying in order to build, that is asur on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed. So that's the purpose of your stira, if that's the purpose of your destruction. So, ubonis, ahacha, bone below soser. Here you're just being bone and you're not being soser. So, mipnei asakana, you're allowed to do both. Shalom mipnei asakana, you're only allowed to be bone. But you're allowed to do it kedarko, and for convenience and beauty, you're allowed to do it only shalo kedarko. That would be the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav Chisda, in the context of the second analysis of the Gemara. Hasam nami listor velo livnis. Then the Gemara says, hold on, why taka do we allow them to destroy it and build a new one, right? Why don't we just tell them that they can take the defective wall down to avoid any potential sakana, but they can't build a new one. Why should we let you build a new one? Why should we let you build a new one? Chalamon? You build a new one after Yom Tov.
What? Maybe there's still a sakana if there's no security.
So if there's still a sakana, so then we're back to the regular din of Rabbi Yehuda. That's probably correct. But let's say it's just a wall in Rishus HaRabim, not protecting a chatzer. Just happens to be, part of the Rishus HaRabim, and you can solve that problem some other way. Why should there be a blanket heter to rebuild it? So the Gemara says, Imkein mimna velo soser. We're worried that the guy whose wall is leaning onto the Rishus HaRabim, if we tell him that he can't build it up and that he could only take it down, then he won't take it down. He won't take it down because as bad as the wall is, and as much as it endangers everybody else, it's still protecting my property.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's still protecting my property. These diunim in the Gemara about the interplay between your personal security and the benefit of the klal, these have serious halachic principles, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of how halacha evaluates risk, we don't just declare there to be risk and then everything becomes mutter. That's not how halacha works, right? There are principles that we establish about what level of risk permits a person to engage in what type of behavior, right? And this is part of a lot of the discussions that go on in the balance of risk and halachic standards. Part of the whole question about the halachic issue of bringing weapons into a shul that we discussed with the teens a little bit over Shavuos, right, relates to this question. It's a compromise on Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. There's a real isser to bring a weapon into a shul, but something can happen, okay? So what are the gedarim of that? You don't just declare something can happen and then you can do anything you want, right? You don't just say something can happen so everybody could have a phone and everybody could have a weapon and everybody could have a... We have to be mishayer. What's the level of risk? And what level of risk is appropriate to then allow what level of flexibility in halacha? Not, you know, we're not required to live risk-free lives. That's ridiculous, right? We are not only allowed to take certain risks, in certain situations we're required to take certain risks, right? We are, for example, the Gemara says very explicitly, a person's allowed to have a job that has risk, right? If you weren't allowed to have any risk, so how could it? The Gemara's example is somebody who climbs trees, I guess, to cut the trees down. So that's a risky job, right? Being a rabbi of a shul is a pretty risky job, right?
Take a lot of heat.
Okay, very good. So it's a pretty risky job. Who told you you're allowed to take a risk? Not only are you allowed to take a risk, it's built in. That's the nature of the world. We take risks. The Rishonim say that one of the reasons why there's no mitzvah on women of pru revu, there's no chiyuv pru revu on women, the chiyuv pru revu is on men. Women aren't chayiv to have children. Why? Because having children is a sakana, it's a risk, right? That's why you're not necessarily allowed to induce labor before labor naturally occurs, unless there are mitigating risks against allowing the labor to go forward, because labor itself is a risk. Exactly. It is not mutter to schedule for convenience. It's not mutter to schedule to have the bris fall out on the day you want. It's not mutter to schedule so that you avoid Chil Shabbos or Chil Yontif, because those things are mutter for risk. You don't get the heter of going in the car to deliver the baby and then say that you want to have the baby early to avoid giving birth on Shabbos. Those two assumptions contradict each other, right? So you're not allowed to put yourself in a... We can't be mechayiv of them to put themselves in a makom sakana. But would anybody suggest that women are not allowed to become pregnant and have children, even though it's a point of sakana? Of course not. That's ridiculous. That's part of the nature of the world, right? This is part of the...
All over the world.
They're in risk. This is part of the whole vaccination craziness, right? That there are risks to vaccines. So... there are risks to vaccines. There's risk to everything. There's risk to waking up in the morning and driving to shul. There's risk to doing anything in the world. So is it mutter for you to be machnes yourself into a makom larger sakana in order to mitigate a risk that is very, very minimal? So who decides what risks are minimal and what risks are not minimal? That's also a din in halacha. Pamphlets don't decide. Professionals decide. Nimnu v'gamru amongst the professionals. That this is an acceptable risk. And by the way, this is not the beginning of this story. The Teferis Yisrael, the commentary in the Mishnayos, already addresses this Shiloh when they came out with the vaccines for smallpox, and there's some of the tshuvas that came out with the vaccines for polio. We have tshuvas from the Rabbanim when there were cases in the United States and the initial vaccines of polio where people got sick from them, telling people you still have to do it no matter what. There's a risk. There's a risk with everything. There's a risk with popping the Tylenol. There's a risk with going in for surgery. There's a risk with chemotherapy. There's a risk with donating a kidney. There are always risks. There are diunim in how to deal with questions of risk. And that's not necessarily something that we just do intuitively, and it's not something we just decide in certain contexts. Well, since there's danger, therefore, everything's mutter. There are different situations Poskim talk about, and the world changes. the status of a shul in 2019 in the United States of America is not the same as the status of a shul in 2017 in the United States of America. Just like the early tshuvas from Rav Moshe Feinstein write that it's mutter but not advised to smoke because everybody knows that, okay, a few people get sick, so that doesn't mean you can asser a whole behavior. We know that to be, that's absolutely incorrect today based on the studies that we have, and there's not even a question that that would not apply today. The world changes, risk changes, risk management changes. So this is part of what the Gemara is assessing now. And the Gemara is telling us that we don't allow an individual to say to themselves, well, I'm not going to repair the wall, right? Because after all, why should I repair the wall and compromise on my Simchas Yontif and my Cholamayid, right? Why should I take care of everybody else's immunity when it punctures my, it undermines my my chatzer? The answer is, okay, so take down the wall and build the wall. We'll matir him to build the wall, kadarko, so that he's not machnis the rest of the tzibur into a makom sakonas. That's what the Gemara says. The Tani, now Ravashi says that the Mishnah itself is actually medayik. The Mishnah itself actually projects this interpretation of Rav Chisda in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah schleps in Shemitah. Because the Mishnah said, Uvashviyaz bonik kedarko, that on Shemitah you should know you could build however you want. Why in the world would we need the Mishnah to tell us that in a chatzer you could build a wall during Shemitah? What iser would there possibly be to build a wall around your house during Shemitah? No iser. What's the iser of building a wall during Shemitah? In a garden. Because what does it look like you're doing? It looks like you're actually keeping other people out of your fruits when they're supposed to be hefker during Shemitah. So you're not supposed to build. But you're worried about security, or you're worried about this thing getting destroyed, or you're worried about something terrible happening, or a dubara oven. So we'll allow you to do it in a way of shalom kedarko. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. But that only applies to a case of the gina. For a chatzer, there's no reason to not allow it kedarko. Well, if that's true about Shemitah, that's true about the other case of the Mishnah, which is Chol HaMoed, and that substantiates Rav Chisda's interpretation of the Mishnah as qualifying the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda of only talking about a case of Gina, when a case of chatzer, which is a more compelling situation that requires the building, that should be mutter. Okay, now we move in to a different area of, now we move into a different area of the Gemara. And this has to do with Negaim. Yay! Says the Gemara the following, right? So what happens? You're in Shul Leah Shabbos, this past Shabbos, you're listening to the rabbi's drasha, and you're saying to yourself, oh, dear God, this guy, he didn't stop all Shavuos, he has to get up and give a 20-minute drasha the Shabbos after. Who does he think he is? It's enough. And you decide to come home that Shabbos afternoon, and you decide to share this sentiment at your Shabbos table right before Tzur Mishaloh, like mamish. Right, first of all, you sing Tzur Mishaloh in the daytime. That's the first thing that's wrong with you, right? Can't even get this miros right. So we already see there's a problem, right? But here, right before you're singing already the wrong zemer, you say to the family, you say, "Oh God, could you believe how long the rabbi spoke? God, it's like." You know, we mamish, if we could, maybe we could try to get in more scholars in residence. That would be amazing. Maybe we could pull together our resources, contact everybody we know, and get this guy more vacation. So the family's like, yeah, that's terrible. I can't believe that happened. Now we only have 8.5 hours till mincha instead of 9 hours till mincha. Can't believe this guy. What a joke. Then you sit down to take your Shabbos nap, and you wake up for mincha, and you look at your arm, and you see a white spot developing on your arm, right? This is soras, right? So you see yourself getting soras. So first you look at the this white spot, and you say to yourself, I wonder if this is soras or this is not soras. So the first thing you have to do And all these details are important to understand our Gemara. Once we understand all these details, the Gemara will flow like water. Right? So what happens? The first thing you need is you need not a rabbi. Believe it or not, you need a kohen. So you find Yitzweiss, right? And you ask him if he could look at your Negat Zoras. So first of all, can you do that on Shabbos? Mm. No. Mm. Cannot do that on Shabbos, and you cannot do that on Yontif. Why can't you do that on Shabbos or Yontif, says the Chazon Ish? Because the psak of a Negat Zoras is like a psak Bezdin. And we don't convene a Bezdin on Shabbos and Yontif. We don't do Negat Zoras on Shabbos and Yontif. Okay. So now you wait till after Shabbos, or in our case, we're going to see in Chol HaMoed, and you bring the Nega on Sunday morning to Yitz, and you show him the Nega. And Yitz looks at it. One of three things could happen. Either Yitz could say, that is not a Nega, that is psoriasis. Go home and enjoy your Sunday, and go to the dinner and pretend you like the rabbi. And therefore you're Tahora, you're done. Or you could look at it and say, that has all the simanim of Tzoras. You got the spot, you got the hair in the middle, you got the indentation, you're mamish a Metzora, and that's it. You start the Tumas of Metzora, you're what we call a Metzora Mukhlat. The third thing that could happen is he could look at you and he could say, I don't know, you have the beginning of what looks like Tzoras, but you're missing some of the defining elements of Tzoras. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take yourself out of the community for the next week, and then at the end of the week, I'll come look again. So you take yourself out of the community for the next week. You're not allowed to be around anybody. You're what's called a Metzora Muskar. 1 week. At the end of the week, Yitz comes back. He looks at your Tzoras, and he could do one of two things. He could say to you, oh, it cleared up, you're good to go. You're taller. Or he could say, we're dealing with these two scenarios, or he could say at the end of week one, you know what, we're still not sure. It hasn't cleared up, but it hasn't developed all of the simanim of Tzoras. Another week. So another week, you're a Metzora Muskar. At the end of that week, the end of week two, now Yitz only has two choices. Choice number one is it never developed the extra simanim, and you're Tahora, you get to go home and you're done. Choice number two, the other choice, is that it has developed Tzoras, and then he declares you a Metzora Mukhlat. And now you're a Metzora. Now you're a Metzora, and you have to stay away for 7 days. You're a Metzora Mukhlat, you're Tamei. Well, I'm sorry. Now you're a Metzora Mukhlat, and we have to wait until it clears up. Okay? Once the Metzoras clears up, Yitz comes back, he does more examinations. He sees your Tzoras clears up, but it's a Tzoras of Tzoras Mukhlat. So once it clears up and he declares you free of Tzoras, you then have to count, you then shave your body, and you do a bunch of other karbanos. You then count 7 days. At the end of those 7 days, you do it again. And then you, on the eighth day, you bring other karbanos of the Metzora, and then your Tahora. That is the journey of the Metzora. Okay? All of that's going to be relevant for us. So here we go.
The reason why we're talking about this here is because we would not, even on Chol HaMoed, we wouldn't have a Bezdin Kavina.
Oh, so you're allowed to have a Bezdin Kavina Chol HaMoed, but here's the problem of declaring somebody a Metzora on Chol HaMoed, which is you're going to remove them from the community on Chol HaMoed, and that will puncture their Simchas Yontif. And believe it or not, Simchas Yontif, as we're going to see today, is such a significant and compelling dimension of the Yontif experience that we will even circumvent certain obvious halachic indicating realities in order to preserve your Simchas Yontif. As we see the following, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir says the following, Rohenes anigayim, a person is allowed to bring their negayim to the Kohen on Chol HaMoed. A person is allowed to do it. Lahakel of a lo lahachmir. So this is the shita of Rabbi Meir. You're allowed to be roe lahakel of a lo lahachmir. You're allowed to bring the negat Yitz, and Yitz is allowed to paskin that it's not Tzoras, But a Chol HaMoed, he shouldn't paskin that it is Soras. Okay. So that's already fascinating, right?
Why would you bother have it checked out if you can't find out?
Because if you... Oh, so first of all, that's a good question.
You're not going to be separated.
So you'll... Right, but maybe you'll... This way you can get it off your conscience. You know, you're very worried that maybe this is Soras and maybe you're headed down a bad road and he could tell you, no, that's not Soras. Now, the obvious question is, it's there. What do you mean you're not going to paskin that it's not there, right? This is like when in Hilchas Nida, we tell the women not to look at the toilet paper, which is a davar shein kabel tuma. It's one of the dinim, I would say in Hilchas Nida, it's one of the most frustrating dinim that women experience, and they constantly express, just amazement about. What do you mean don't look? What do you mean don't look? It's either there or it's not there. What do you mean don't look? Don't look. Don't look. Don't bother us. Don't look. Don't look. When did don't ask, don't tell become a halachic policy, right? So that's what it sounds like here. So the answer is that, and we're going to see this, the Kohen is not just a mevarer. The Kohen is not just a diagnostician for Tzoras. The Kohen and involving the Kohen is part of the process of actually halachically designating the person as having the status of a Metzora. You can't become a Metzora without a Kohen. The word Kohen is used over and over and over and over in the Parashios of Metzora. Huva la Kohen, Rona la Kohen, Rona la Kohen, a Kohen, a Kohen, a Kohen, a Kohen, a Kohen, right? Yes? So the Kohen is not just there to figure out Lamaisa, or else we could use Rabbanim. Anybody who's an expert in the gun. When the Kohanim becomes such experts in the gun. The Kohen's designation is part of what creates the chalos of a Metzora. And therefore, the Kohen can restrain himself from declaring that reality, and Chazal give him the license to do so. So that's the pshit of Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Omrim, no, lo lahakel v'lo lahachmir. You don't go to Kohanim at all, like David was suggesting, on Chol HaMoed, so you don't get started with these shailas. Just leave it alone till after Yontif. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. So we have these Shitos again. This time the Chachamim will be replaced by Rabbi Yos. Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir says, Ronas and Nagoyim Lahakim Lola Achmir. You could see Nagoyim to be Mako, but not to be Machmir. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Lola Hakel, but Lola Achmir. And explains why. Shima Ta Nizkak Lola Hakel, Nizkak Lola Afla Achmir. That would make sense to us. That's Pashtos, right? Because if you're going to Paskin the Shiloh Lahakel, then you have to paskin the shayla lahachmir. You have to look at the shayla and you have to answer the question. So Omar Rebbe, says Rebbe. So again, this is the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Comes along Rebbe, and Rebbe says, Nirin divrei Rabbi Meir b'muskar, v'divrei Rabbi Yossi b'muchlot. Okay, now that we're experts in Saras, we can pick this apart very easily, right? Rebbe says, that the shita of Rabbi Meir, that you should examine the Metzora. Remember, the whole goal here is not to ruin the simcha of the Metzora's Yontif. Okay, the potential Metzora's Yontif. That's the goal. So says Rabbi, if he's a Metzora Musgar, meaning he's been already locked up, and we're just trying to figure out if he has been released from it or not, if it's cleared up, then, says Rebbe, you could follow the sheet of Rabbi Meir, and you could go ahead and look, right? Why can you go ahead and look? Because you won't make the situation worse, right? You're not going to make his yontif worse. Because, exactly, you have the potential of releasing him, or you have the potential of simply continuing where you were. So Tosis asks, what do you mean? You also have the potential of seeing it actual mochlat, and that would make him worse. So Tosis answers, so first of all, that's a big kasha on the whole way Rashi interprets this Gemara. But Tosis basically answers that Chazal already gave you the license when you're at the end of Muskar Aleph to push it off to Muskar Beis, even if you're pretty sure that it's that already is not such a push. You know what I mean? To push it off to the second. Okay, so that we would follow Rabbi Meir. However, in the case of Mitzora Mochlat, we're Mitzora Mukhlat. So he's definitely a Mitzora. He's definitely a Mitzora. So there, we pass him like Rabbi Yossi or like the Chachamim. So It's machlokas rishonim if Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim on the same sheet or not. And the Ritva and the Ran. But let's assume they are, right? We have a paskin like Rabbi Yossi that we would not look at the Metzora. Why? Because our situation is that either we will see nothing, right? We will see nothing, in which case he continues to be a Metzora Mukhla. And in that case, the situation does not get worse. Or we will see that it cleared up. Once it clears up, something happens. What happens? He enters the days of Tahara. So you might think, entering the days of Tahara, that rocks, right? That's great. Now we're entering the days of Tahara. But something happens in the days of Tahara. Believe it or not, as we're going to see later in the Amud Beis, even though you are removed from the community when you're a Metzora Muskar, you are still allowed to have tashmish with your wife. I don't know how much your wife's interested in you as sitting there as a Metzora, but it's mutter, right? Once you enter Yemei Tahara, you are allowed to re-enter the community, but you're now Osir Le'ishta. Mm. And we know that a big part of Shabbos and Yontif and Oneg Shabbos and Yontif is the physical relationship between husband and wife. So since, you hear this? Since paskening Tahora on the Metzora Mukhlat, which is not true about the Metzora Muskar. If the guy's a Metzora Muskar and you pasken Tahora, he doesn't go through the process of Tahara. He's done. He was never a Metzora. Nimnu, it's Mivurar from the beginning, he was never a Metzora. But if he's a Metzora Mukhlat, meaning he got the status of a Metzora, and now we're going to let him out of it, so then what's going to happen? He's going to be ushered his wife. And now you're going to take a guy who before he was spending Yontif without all his buddies, but at least he had his wife, and now he's going to spend Yontif without his wife, even though he could be with his buddies. And we're going to see that the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that is worse. That's a machlokas. It's probably a machlokas in this room, right? That's a machlokas, right? But the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that it's worse. So you do have the opportunity to make it worse. And so therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, everybody with me? So Amar Rabbi, Nirin Dimi Rabbi Meir b'Muskar, we follow Rabbi Meir in a Muskar, b'Dimi Rabbi Yosef b'Mukhlat. Amar Rava, so now Rava clarifies the whole picture. Here we go. B'Tahar, when you're dealing with someone who's completely Tahar, and this we're going to fly through because everybody knows this now. Kuliyamo pligi de lo chazule. Everybody agrees if the guy's completely Tahora, he shouldn't go visit Yitz on Chalamoid. Because maybe he'll say it's nothing, but maybe he will lock him up. And that's not a good yontif. Behesker Rishon, in a case of Hesker Rishon, Kuliyamo lo pligi de chazule. Everybody would agree that at the end of the first week of being locked up, if that falls on a Chalamoid, you should go visit Yitz. Why? Because maybe Yitz will tell you you're not a Metzora. Or maybe Yitz will tell you to just continue with your Hesker. What Yitz will not tell you is that you're a Metzora Mukhlat, because he has the option of delaying that, even though he knows that that's inevitable. That option does not exist for him at the end of Hesker Sheni, at the end of the second week, which is why the Gemara says, Ki pligi the Hesker Sheni, right? Because they argue in the case of Hesker Sheni, Mar Savar. So now we're in Hesker Sheni. If we're in Hesker Sheni, so that means that when you come to Yitz at the end of that second week on Chol HaMoed, if Yitz looks at your nega and he paskins that it's a problem, you're now going to be a Metzora Mukhlat. There's no way around that. So he can make your situation worse. So the Gemara says, now we have a Machlokas. What's the Machlokas? One opinion is B'Kohen Talia Milsa, that it really depends on the Kohen. And if it depends on the Kohen, and the Kohen can ignore the possibility that you'll be a Mukhlat and paskin you l'tahara, then we do have the potential of improving your situation, and therefore you should go to him, right? That's the Rowan case. That's Rabbi Meir. Or, you right, Itahar Amar Le Tahar, V'Itameh Shasik. And if it's Tameh, you just say nothing. Umar Savar, and one holds, l'taharo o l'tamo. Ksiv. Right? The Torah says that the purpose of going to the Kohen is to be Metar or Metame. So therefore, we're done. And therefore, that's the Machlokas in the Mishnah. Okay? So the Machlokas, or the Braisa, the Machlokas of the Braisa, the Machlokas of the Mishnah, according to some Rishonim say Machlokas. The Machlokas is, in a case of Hesker Sheni, where one option is to get worse, and the other option is to get better. There is no option to stay the same. And the shaila is, can the Kohen exercise his own individual manipulation of this situation and just kind of allow it to be as it is? This is different than the shaila of what we call like mutavu shogigin miyu mezidin, that if you know someone's going to violate an isser, you shouldn't necessarily tell them if you really believe they won't do anything about it. And, you know, this comes up, this shaila, to what extent do we inform people that they're doing something wrong or not doing something wrong? The Erev Shaila that always comes up, right? The all these different questions. Amar Mar, so says, not in your Erev, that shaila never comes up, because they never fall down. Amar Mar, I wasn't here on Friday. I was blissfully unaware. Yes.
In relation to this, I'm saying, it's interesting, the Taras, for the Torah, is obviously Min HaShemayim decoration. And we're being worried about his Simchas Yontif. That's the first thing that comes to me. This is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we're worried about whether or not he's going to have a nice Yontif. The other piece that I'm concerned about is if you're worried really about Simchas Yontif, I'm more worried about the Kohen Simchas Yontif.
No one seems to be worried about it.
No, but I'm saying here he's got to make a declaration whether a guy has to separate to have to do that on Yontif. I think that's where the Simchas Yontif should be.
So that shaila could only come from the son-in-law of a rabbi with 40 years experience and watching people knock on his door at 1 o'clock in the morning. The rest of the world, the people who are knocking on those doors, would not ask that question. That's a fair... Listen, this is what the Kohanim didn't sign up for. So,
I understand. So, he shouldn't have to deal with that on Yontif.
Yeah, that apparently, we assume that he has the responsibility because he has the capacity to make the situation better. So he has the responsibility to deal with it. But your other question, hold for a second, because that is going to come up. It is a good question. But Tzaras, we know, is not some sort of physical malady. It's a spiritual disease. Right. Rabban writes that it didn't exist outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? And Lechora, people speak Lashon Hara outside Eretz Yisrael, right? A little bit, right? So, Lashon Hara. Just got an itch, right? So what happens? So that's a good question. So, it almost seems like there's so we have other precedents for divinely orchestrated realities being harnessed in deference to Simchas Yontif. For example, Avelos, right? A person's in Avelos, that's a reality. A Kadosh Baruch Hu made the person die. My mother-in-law died on Shabbos HaGadol. Her Levaya was Erev Pesach. The Avelos was 4 hours. And then it was over. Right? Why? Why was it over? Because there's a Chiyuv of Simchas Yontif. Asi Yasei Derabim V'Dochi Yasei Deyachim. Even if Avelos is Doraisa, it's Docha. Because there's no... And we're going to have that Sugi and Moikot, by the way.
Avelos is Doraisa?
That's a whole discussion.
We
will get into it, in the third part. But one thing that's clear is Yontif truncates Avelos. Even though Kadosh Baruch Hu, why the person died? The person died and Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that's the end of their life. So if he ended their life and he said have Avelos, then what's the... Now he's saying not have Avelos. So built into the system are certain clashes of ideals. That's a reality.
Is that you have to have a bill. It never says how long you have to. Maybe that's part of the discussion.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying this is...
But the point is that it's inevitable... Right.
Then you push it.
Right. The point is it's inevitable that the world is created in such a way that we will have a conflict of ideals, and the question is how to resolve it. Do we resolve it in deference to Tzoras? Do we resolve it in deference to Yontif? So... the Gemara is making a clear hierarchy. Well, this is learned out from Psukim that Yontif takes precedence. Okay. So says the Gemara. Where are we?
Third, fourth line.
Mar Omar. Let's have a look. Omar Mar says Mar. Omar Rabbi. So says Rabbi. Nirin Divri Rabbi Yossi b'Mukhlat v'Divri Rabbi Meir b'Muskar. So now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that we suggested before a source that said that Rabbi Meir follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in a case of Mukhlat. Don't be bodek, because you could only make the situation worse by killing his yantif with his wife. But b'muskar, you should be bodek, follow Rabbi Meir, because you potentially can make the situation better. V'atanya ifcha, so the Gemara says, we have a brisa that actually reverses that in the name of Rebbe. That actually, as a tradition, that Rebbe said the opposite. That Rebbe said, in a mukhlat, we should follow Rabbi Meir and be bodek. And in a muskar, we should follow Rabbi Yossi and not be modik. So the Gemara says, how is such a thing possible? Tanoi, he is actually a machlokas tanoim. Aliba de Rebbe. And it's a machlokas what Rebbe's shita actually was. Marsav, our one opinion holds, tzavsa de alma adif, that the company of the general tzibur is stronger lay to the person than the company of his wife. And if the company of the tzibur is stronger than the company of his wife, then sending the guy into Yemei Tahara when he's a Mitzora Mukhlat is actually an improvement. And if that's an improvement, then we should be Bodekim. And if we should be Bodekim, that should follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And that is the second Brisa. And Marsa Bar Tzavsa the Ishto Adifa. The other one says, no, if a guy had a choice, it's Father's Day, gentlemen, right? If a guy had a choice to hang out with his buddies or to go out with his wife, not even a Shiloh, he'd rather be with his wife. So if he'd rather be with his wife than declaring a mitzora in a mitzora mukhlat tahar worsens their situation. So in the case of mukhlat, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And in case of mukhlat, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. That's the first version of Rebbe. And therefore we are not bodek. In the case of muskar, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir and we are bodek. Okay? Everyone with me? Adiflei lemeimra de mukhlat mutar mitash mishamita. So the Gemara says, I'm pretty surprised about this, that a Mitzora Mukhlat, not a Muskar, a Mitzora Mukhlat, he's definitely a Mitzora. He's been paskin that he's a Mitzora. One thing you need to tell me, the Muskar, you're not sure if he's a Mitzora. He's still allowed to be with his wife. You tell me when you're sure he's a Mitzora, he could have relations with his wife? The Gemara says, yes, that's the case. Va'atanya, and here the Va'atanya is a Raya. Va'atanya is, we learned in a Brisa, of Yashav Mechutz La'ohalo Shivas Yamin. Shehei also b'tash mishamito, that when he return, when he goes mechutz la'ohalo, excuse me, for 7 days, that's the sphere of the 7 days. After yemei tahara, he's otzer b'tash mishamito. The Gemara says ein olo ela ishto. The word oel means his wife. Shenemar, as it says, aleichem olam shvulachem lo aleichem. After Kabbalah Satori, you can return to your wives. Your oalim mean your wives. So what does that mean? That means that you are mutter to your, you are usher to your wife only for those Yemei Sfira. You're returning davka after the days of Yemei Sfira. You're not returning davka after the days of Yemei Huchlat and Sfira. Because in the days Huchlat, a Mitzora Muchlat, you are mutter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shivas Yamim Yisperu Lo, Yemei Sfira Velo Yemei Chaluto. It's a different deal that you count the 7 days. Yemei Sfira Velo Yemei Chaluto. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the third Shita, Zayin Yemei Sfira, the 7 days of Sfira, Kavachomer Yemei Chaluto. That almost, you know, sounds more poshut. That if the days of Sfira you're asr to her, Kavachomer the days of Chaluto you're asr for her. So the Amar Avchia, Danti Lifnei Rabbi, I came before Rabbi. Limtenu Rabbeinu, tell us, Rabbi, what's the din? So he answered, Yutam lo hayelo luziyahu ela bimei chaluto. That Yutam, which was the child of Uziyahu HaMelech, he was conceived when Uziyahu was a Mitzora. He was a Mitzora for many years. And in his days of chaluto, when he was a Mitzora Mukhlat. So therefore, Amar lo, afani kach amarti. Therefore, I hold as well that a Mitzora Mukhlat is mutter. That's the shita that we follow. The Mitzora Mukhlat is mutter, and that's the shita of Rabbi. So the Ma'ikam Ifugi, what are they arguing? Rav Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, Galer, Rachman, and Mei Sfira. The Kol Shekein, Bimei Chaluto. That the Rachman, the Pasuk, was Megale, the din of Yemei Sfira, but there's a Kal V'chomer, if you're usher to the wife in Yemei Sfira, where you're already within the process of Tahara, relative to Metzora, then certainly you should be asur to her in Yemei Chaluto. Well, you're not in the process of Tahara. Umar Savar, and the other one says, no, we don't all do this, this Kavachomer. Man de gali, what the Torah was Megala, it was Megala. Uman de lo gali, what the Torah was not Megala, it was not Megala. It was Megala Yemei Sfira, that you're asur to Ishto. It's not Megala, that in Yemei Chaluto, you're asur to Ishto. And therefore, it's not a problem. Beyond the scope of this shir is what exactly is this machlokas? Normally, we assume a kal v'chomer is a compelling halachic reality. What is that interpretive halachic reality? What does that mean? The Torah is not giving you a kal v'chomer. So that's another design. Lememra de b'koin talya milsa. So you're trying to tell me this whole thing's tully on the koin, right? Lememra de b'koin talya milsa. You're trying to tell me this whole thing is tully on the koin. So says the Gemara Ve'atanya, Uvayom Heroz Bo, that on the day that you show the Kohen the Saras, Yom Shata Roebo, V'yesh Yom Shi'ata Roebo. Some days we look at Saras, some days we don't look at Saras. Mikan Amru, from here we see, Chosen Shenolad Bo, Nega, let's say Chas Hashem, a Chosen, develops a Nega, Nosen Lo Zayn Yimei Amishta, you give him his 7 days of Sheva Brachas, lo lebeso l'ksuso, and you don't declare him a Metzora. L'chein beregel. Nos nin lo shivas yimei haregel. You give him the days of the regel, and you don't declare him a Metzora. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, what is that little aleph? Rabbi Yehuda Omer shivas yisab. Sorry. I don't know where that goes. Okay, what's the other shita here? Eino tzarech, ariu omer b'tziva ha-koin ufunu as habayis. He says, no, we compare, what's the source that we can push off tzoras for the chasen? Because the Torah tells us when it comes to negayim of batin, what do? You know, houses could also get tzoras. So What do? Before the koin goes in, you remove everything from the house. Because once he declares the house tzoras, then everything inside becomes Soras. So the Gemara says, if you're allowed to remove all these items, which is really just a material concern of a Rishos, kol shekein l'dvar mitzvah. Certainly for a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to go ahead and do that. Mai benayu, what's the difference between these two shitos? Amar Abaye mashmos darshanika benayu, the mashmos of the drasha itself. The Rav Amar, no, whether or not Dvar Rishos Yikabinayu, whether or not we have a precedent here that we are allowed to, in all cases, for a Dvar Rishos, circumvent the experience of the Mitzora. Tosis writes here that this sugya actually might be one of the Makoros that Sheva Brachos is Dol Raisa. This is a discussion. Is Sheva Brachos considered Dol Raisa or Midrabanan? The Rush disagrees, and this comes up in all sorts of shilas. For example, it's going to be 3 weeks soon. So let's say someone makes a chasana before the 3 weeks, and the Sheva Brachas go into the 3 weeks. And you're not really supposed to have Simcha Vareyos and these kinds of things, in Yemei Avelus, right? So how do we view the Sheva Brachas? The Sheva Brachas a real din d'oraisa? Is it not? This is a machlokas a poskim. I think Rav Moshe's makel on this, that you can have a gathering of a Sheva Brachas. Other poskim are, I think Rav Moshe even is makel on music. Others say that maybe you should avoid the music, but certainly you can have a gathering of a Sheva Bracha, so that becomes a big discussion. But this, the other thing that's brought up by the Imre Emes relates to Shlomi's point, which is the Imre Emes asks on this sugya, how did this exactly happen? We know that at the Chasen, every great chuppah speech, what does the rabbi say? That the day of your chasana is
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, you're forgiven for all your avonos. So what did he do? He talked in the Yichud. What did he do here? Like what? You know, like he's supposed to be free and clear. He's supposed to not. So the Imre Emes. So there are two answers. One answer is he says, even if you could get mitzaras, even if you don't deserve it, as a yisurin shalava. That's a big chiddush, right? That because the Gemara gives all sorts of lists of sins you get mitzaras for, right? So he says, person can receive this spiritual suffering not necessarily in reaction to doing something wrong, but simply to purify them from other aspects of their life and raise their spiritual stature. As we know that that's one of the approaches the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes makes life not as easy for people who we would think should deserve an easier life. The other answer is that maybe the chuppah, like Yom Kippur, is only mechaper for Avonos Ben Adam Lamako. Right? But Avonos Ben Adam L'Chavero require pius, require, right, ask forgiveness, require mechila. So just because you're a chassan doesn't mean you walk out with a totally clean slate. You're not any better than any of us on Yom Kippur. Right? You still have to ask everybody mechila in order to get that kapara. That's the other. But the Panim Eros actually, related to this Gemara, brings up a separate question that does come up. And this whole question of what we puncture Simchas Yontif for and what we don't. Because the poskim discuss this Shaila by Avelus also. Let's say you find out that someone should be in Avelus on Yontif. Do you tell them? So in general, we have an obligation to tell people when they're in Avelus. We don't get to make cheshbon, so it's better they don't know. But unless we're dealing with a situation where there's a health concern, sometimes then obviously we have a consideration. But assuming there's no sakana, assuming there's no health concern, you don't have the right to decide, oh, I don't want to make him in a bad mood, oh, yeah, I want to, you know, a person, and there are more rights, because there's a chiv kaddish, and you don't have a right to hold that back from it. Certainly there's a chiv kvur, even if there's no chiv kvur. Let's say the burial already happened. You found out that so-and-so's relative died and was buried on the second day of Shavuos in Eretz Yisrael, right? And you know this on the, in the morning. So should you go tell this to the person, or should you not? So that's a discussion in the postgame. And many would refrain from doing that. Because even though there's, on one hand, a chiv avelus, avelus shibitzina, they're chayivin now, right? In other words, there are certain things that they can't do on Yontif because they're in avelus, not avelus before hasya, but nevertheless, you're going to destroy their simchas Yontif. So that becomes a big discussion. There are many, many stories of people who are able to... Yeah, is the Chiyav Simcha the same, right? But even if it's the first day of Shavuos, it still have the, you know, again, originally they used to bury on Yontif. You know, Ali Deyakub, they used to bury on Yontif. They do, yeah. Breuer's buries on the second day, I think, Ali Deyakub. Yeah. So the, that's also a sugi we'll see in Mayakadi. But, that's an interesting discussion, and there are many stories of many people who, you know, Nebuch discovered that somebody was, had passed away on Shabbos or Yontif and withheld sharing this news, even though they had it, so as not to puncture the Simchas Yontif or the Shabbos for the person when there's absolutely nothing they could do, absolutely nothing that could be done. They sit them down after Yontif and... That's always a very difficult cheshbon to make. One should not just make that cheshbon off of a Mishnah Berurah. That requires an understanding of the person and of the context and of what's going on. Okay, we should all be zocheh not to get so rough.
Is it like a distinction between a woman
getting to us and a man getting to us in terms of this machlokes? Because the whole issue was...